takes care of that. And that takes care of that.
All right, all that effort so we can sit around.
I'm going to get hot chocolate.
Good idea.
Did we want anything?
This is macaroons.
Macaroons?
A cup of tea.
Sure.
Yeah. Mhm. Thank you. Did Tina have a good time?
She did.
Nice. Yeah, she told me that John Welsh's thing was kaploof.
Yeah, they didn't have enough signed up, but they didn't know three of us were coming. And last time, there were plenty.
So last time it was a good group.
Right, but May is strange. Historically, you mentioned that May sometimes has a drop off because of that, you know, into spring kind of thing, being the worst kind of thing. So anyhow, I threw in correspondence. And so I think we should bring it ahead.
Yeah.
Some of the folks at the school really love this thing.
We'll do a 5-hour thing here then?
We could do a mini retreat. Yeah, I don't think he's done anything that extensively, but I think that could be an interesting thing. But yeah, getting to the root of it is nailed it yesterday.
Yesterday.
That was funny. He says, "Oh, I'll take your money." He said, "Now I don't need Paul anymore."
Yeah, he has a number of good routines.
Yeah, do you see any themes that recur?
All of them.
Do they?
Yeah, everything you said.
Yeah, that's what he said. He's like, "You're not going to hear anything new from me."
No.
Yeah, that's kind of relieving in a way.
Yeah, I mean, it's a style, right?
I mean, in one sense, patiently focused. If you're evolving towards a greater understanding, it's full of, you know, hooks and catches. You keep doing the same thing over and over again, you'd be like, "What?
Thank you.
Don't you do something new and fresh?"
Don't grow mine.
Like, how about this?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I might be one of those.
Yeah.
If you know anyone that needs a parallel washing, I sprung for one. I bought one.
Oh, great.
And it's a little bit of work. You hold that sucker for however long, but it's rewarding to see something fresh and back.
The church could use some power washing.
Yeah, so as it doesn't take the whole thing with it.
It might.
Oops, there goes that.
Oh, well. Time to rebuild.
This is really high.
Yeah.
So like I'm like there's a mountain.
There's a pee under there. This princess.
With three cushions, you can actually command people to do shit.
That's kind of fun. You put her on the YouTube.
Careful what you ask for.
Night Sky Sangha, we'll make a princess out of you.
Well, so I don't think it's a Night Sky Saga t-shirts, but the top one is Night Sky Saga, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if you can really wear that around.
Depends on how you spell fuck.
Select the order.
Yeah, we'll do the PH version.
Yeah,
get the PH version. The Velcro thing. You can just cover up the F word.
It's more palatable when you do PH.
Yeah, nobody will even know. I don't know what the hell's wrong with that girl or what her shirt means.
Really? Hey, come to this group and then go fuck yourself.
Satisfaction?
Doesn't get any more free than that, does it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one will be how free do you want to be, and the other one will be go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you could put how free do you want to be on the front, and then
go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself on the back.
I'm going to be in two separate shirts, but yeah, that would be
awkward, too. As soon as I start touring. Yeah. Hey, would you talk to our group so we can all go fuck ourselves?
That woman, she said you were so popular.
Oh, yeah. She's delusional. It was popular. It was popular amongst all of her multiple personalities.
Which is a lot.
There's like 13 or 14 people that reside inside her, each with their own symptoms and stuff. And she said that I was popular with all of her personalities. That's good.
You're the unifying principle.
The unifying principle. Yeah. Night Sky Sangha, how free do you want to be? I had a nice little chat with Rob last night after the...
Really? You noticed that?
Yeah.
That's something to do with the fact that he thinks there's others?
Oh, yeah. We didn't want to get in... I didn't really want to get involved in that.
He went somewhere else.
Because that's a dead end, you know? It's like, sure, believe anything you want. Is that really interfering with this moment? Is it really interfering with, you know...
Yeah.
The so-called truth of being as if there were one.
Whether there's others or not.
Think what you want.
Right.
Others, not others, duality, non-duality. You know, whether the Buddha, when he farted, lifted his right cheek or his left cheek. You know, which cheek did the Buddha fart? Oh. Let's consult the Dope Chen Masters on that point.
Yeah,
they'll have something to say about it. Or, you know, there's no question nobody has any quarrel with the fact that suffering sucks. Okay. And it can suck really worse than you think it's sucking now, when it really sucks. Okay. If the motive for spiritual discourse, spiritual practice, you know, contemplative discovery is inspired by mitigating suffering, yeah, it's not that much mileage. Because mitigating suffering, right, still revolves around me as the durable receiver of experiencing, who wishes to suffer less, or if I'm really egoically charged, not at all. So if I want to suffer less or not at all, then the ongoing blasphemy of the barometer of myself continues. Because I'm seeing this, you know, how's it going? Suffering? Not suffering? Oh, there's a little bit. Oh, that's cool. Oh, there's a little bit. Oh, well, chill that out, right? I mean, do I have to use mindfulness as a kind of a, what does he call it, a shine or a shinai stick on my own, you know, head? Using mindfulness as a stick on my own head to attempt to ameliorate or medicate suffering? And then I'm still in the game, you know? It's like obliteration. Obliteration is the only way.
How about those that feel compelled to alleviate the suffering of others?
Why not? You know, it's the same thing as, you know, which cheek did the Buddha lift? Go ahead. You know, do what you do. Commit to what you commit to. Enjoy what you enjoy. You know, make friends, make enemies. Become insulted. You know, remedy the ills of the world. Shit, knock yourself out. Obviously, there's so much going down that, you know, you've got a more than full-time job.
Let's say that I'm actively active in that respect.
Yeah, right. We're not talking about anyone in this room. We're just all lazy bozos. You know that. But in this room,
everybody is of service. That's what I wanted to rub it a little bit with Paul Hagerman. I'm like, everybody's of service. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, really, the only service is to your own experience, consciousness in some way.
Sure.
Yep. I don't know. It just seems like another thing to placate, like, oh, I'm servicing others.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Everything will
whatever,
be.
Whatever you want to tell yourself.
Yes, that's just it. Everything is a temporal placation that doesn't really satisfy. Because we just keep in reference, you know, in referential hallucination.
It is the ones that appear to be less egoic. Appears to be.
Oh, well, you know, even egoic and whatever we mean by that,
I'm measuring, you know, the value of this with.
Yeah.
You encounter
a really bravado woman who thinks really highly of herself, but to your eyes, she's a dish. You will forego the ego problem.
What do you think might happen?
I don't know. But let's say you encounter someone that you're not really attracted to, whether the opposite sex or the same sex, depending on your role, and they have a bravado in themselves, and to you, or whomever, they're an egomaniac.
Right. you excuse one, and you.
Oh yeah.
And you're critical of the other.
Absolutely. You know.
What's in it for?
Yeah, whenever a Buddhist accuses me, and it happens quite frequently, of having no compassion, I mean, I can't win with these fucking people. You know, because I behave in a way, or say something, or challenge them, or act out, or have a laugh at their expense. Of course I have no compassion. It's easy to accuse anybody of having no compassion the moment they rub you the wrong way. So it's completely subjective. It's completely selective. As if compassion is a commodity. Compassion really means you're behaving in a way that's either pleasing to me or non-affrontive to me, and it looks like I can trust you to either care for my needs or perhaps be friendly toward others. Bada bing. Mr. Compassion,
yeah. It's
make one slip.
You, it's like really funny. Just if it's agitating you,
yeah,
that's all it has anything to do with.
Make one slip.
You're agitating,
and
me.
You tumble down the compassion hill, straight into a a pond full of lotus flowers.
You're the jewel, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, every and any accusation we make is about whom?
Yeah.
Tag. Really.
And it's just Marco Polo. I see like how much I'm just making it up. It's like, well, something about this made me. I'm gonna make something up so that it sounds good. Whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like whether it's blaming you or whatever.
That's all you
whatever
got.
The story is.
It's all you've got is the nagging hysteria of your own mind and the associations that we assign to our own to convince us that what we're thinking about or how we feel about a thing is true. We're fucked.
Yeah.
That's a sorrowful condition.
To the point where you could actually, one could actually go hang out with like Paul Hagerman, who's funny as fuck, and be irritated because of something, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
That he said. And
sure.
It's like, you know, you can't.
Yep.
It's just,
yeah.
Yeah, you're screwed.
You're screwed.
I mean,
yeah.
Pretty screwed.
You're screwed if you turn left. You're screwed if you turn right. You're screwed if you look up. You're screwed if you look down.
But at least something's turning.
Mm. All right. It's time. There you go. The first noble truth is there's no point in resisting chocolate.
I prefer the darkest of the dark.
The second noble truth is please, please do not forget the first noble truth. And that's it. There weren't four. There was only two.
Resistance is really futile.
Right. Life is chocolate. Resistance is futile. Nice guy, Sangha. Two noble truths, keeping it simple. Life is chocolate. Resistance is futile.
I can see it now. The Church of Chocolate.
I love
the dark hole. W-H-O-L-E.
Ooh. Right. Now, a certain kind of sobriety occurs. When we back off from the insistence on remedying our discomfort. As long as we're interested or motivated to remedy our discomfort, it's likely we're still believing that our discomfort is real and somehow, and we'd be better off without it. Bada boom, you're going down, spiraling into hell, which is how we live from day to day. You know, there's nothing wrong with it.
You have to make this about something.
Yeah, that's right. Somehow the myth of subjective nature, meaning me experiencing, objectifies all experience as a so-called world, and the complaint runs from there.
That seemed to be... maybe this is just a theme in my life lately. I don't know. It just seems like codependence is a very huge aspect of that. Like, once you create objects, there's almost instantaneous codependence.
Almost.
Well, I would say 100%, but I don't know if I'm just...
all you've got is instantaneous.
Yeah.
You can't have anything else but instantaneous. Yeah. Because nothing happened a moment before now. Nothing happens a moment after now. It's just the nonstop here that can only disappear. The nonstop here that can only disappear. Therefore, all you've got is instantaneous.
Yeah.
And pundits and physicists and psychics and wormhole measurers, everyone loves to invest in or create an explanatory field. Temporal, spatial, causal, effects and objects in it. An explanatory field for this simultaneity, which can only do one thing, which is leave town. Where's the explanation? Your actual nature, not that it's even a nature, but you could say we're on the receiving end, the confounding end of nothing at all that can only do one thing, which is leave town. And yet, we insisted it's something, it's here because of, and that's because of, and that's because of. We trace it all the way back to some poetic imagination of in physics or whatever called the Big Bang. And then we chart a course for why everything is the way it is. We'll look at a mammal or a bug or a mineral or this or that, and we'll say all kinds of shit about it and place it in a proper context for, let's say, our sake or sense of knowledge field. But about ourselves, we know this much. Zippity fucking doodah. And worse than that, we're not even interested in discovering what our actual experience is. We're so bloated by knowledge and continuity and explanation and the hubris of it all that we're not even interested to discover what my actual experience is. I'd rather go to a psychic and have them tell me about Uncle Joe. Only to find out that, oh my God, Uncle Joe had mistresses, TMI. Be careful what you ask for, Be careful for the news that you're trying to get. And this is the banality and the hubris of all, you could say, all human consciousness. this the myth of Genesis consequence explanation, the myth of spatiality, the myth of temporality. There's no freedom in it. There's just no freedom in it. I don't care how big the knowledge gets. I mean, we can do miracles, right? Medical miracles and scientific miracles and a bunch of miracles that, you know, the 1/10 of the 1% don't want you to know about because that might mean free energy for everybody. We can do miracles. No big deal. But the suffering persists despite all the power that we have, whatever that suggests, you know. And you could say in terms of the capacity to house and feed and clothe and give meaningful medical care and education and art to the entire species, the abundance doesn't go that way. The abundance gets stingier and stingier and stingier. The least state gets more aggressive and more aggressive and more aggressive. And you're like, what the fuck? Lighten up, you fuckers!
It does seem like that's like a bizarre metaphor for this, like, my,
yes. Yeah, of course it is. In our own consciousness, we don't flower, we don't open, we don't assess the entirety and then find euphoria there. We become stingier and stingier and stingier, and the police state becomes more and more and more aggressive in my own mind, in my own experience. Fuck.
Yeah, we don't seem to be walking around going, fuck it, I don't care what happens next. You know, and we were, no, I need to count my pennies and make sure I get what I deserve and you get what you deserve and we came here for this and I get the best deal. And
yeah, I want everyone to have money, but not my money. Right. A nice, you know, boom, boom. Nice rim shot.
Well, yeah, it is interesting. You're just fighting with yourself.
Isn't it interesting?
And arguing with yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a monologist from hell, arguing, convincing, bleeding like a goat with myself. Who's listening? Nobody. Yeah, of course, blaming it on everybody else. Well, that's a great pastime. I'm feeling this way because of you. What you did or didn't do. You treated me unfairly. Accusing me of philandering. And if a remedy is sought within the field of accusation, subject and object and rumination, that remedy, even if it works a little bit, will generally be short-lived. Will run out of steam, stop becoming useful. Like so many remedies, like so many vitamins, like so many supplements, like so many pieces of exercise equipment, like so many gym memberships, like so many relationships. Anicca, right? Nothing lasts. Impermanence is the kahuna. Impermanence is the big kahuna. Get used to it. Liberation is not that difficult, really. Impermanence is the big kahuna. Get used to it. Oh, yeah, you got a point there. You know, and that virus, it will take you out. It will. It will take you out.
So funny is enlightenment hotline. Would you please hold?
I love it. Yeah, would you please hold? That's great.
Hold what?
Yeah.
How long?
Yeah, hold yourself. Well, this is funny. You know, our habit is that of assertion, that of accumulation, that of comparison, measure, destination. That's the reflex, right? That's the reflex of mind, and the importance given to mind is acquisitive. Clinging, that there's an outcome. So the whole of our being is driven insane, driven mad with outcome, which is, you know, why we might use the phrase becoming. We're tortured by becoming.
Yeah.
Fuck, shut up.
I'm stuck in this human-esque make-believe realm. It's like really funny.
Yes, whatever the reality frame is for, you know, in the unique the uniqueness of each so-called person is that person's expression of jammed into becoming. Regret, lamentation, right? Accusation, blame. Oh, poor me-ism. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to make a living if you're in a Socratic mood.
Socratic?
Yeah.
They don't play philosophers very much.
Yeah.
If they did, I'd be a very wealthy
man. You'd be a very wealthy man, yeah. Sitting on the Starbucks.
Spend a lot of time on the couch looking at the beans.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorting this shit out. I'm sorting it out right about now.
Yeah, that sounds like a like.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's like the other way around. It's really funny. Like when you just, it is kind of like what Paul was saying, just that maintain that dumb blonde mentality is like the best way to go, and things just fly. It's like so funny.
Well, it turns out that, you know, one's present liquidation does not have to be met with sorrow. One's liquidation does not have to be met with fear or resistance. And that's our training, really. Our life training is, oh, meet your present liquidation with, fuck if I know, joy, relaxation, surrender, fascination. Meet your present liquidation head on with the most intelligence and the most affection at your disposal. And as that affection and intelligence, you could say, you know, grows in confidence or capacity or the aperture opens, then what happens? I don't know. One becomes friendly, if not euphoric, with the presence of one's own liquidation as a dynamism. Not as zero, but non-stop liquidation is kind of bizarre. We think liquidation goes to something like zero. No, liquidation is just ongoing.
Well, the dynamism kind of moves to the forefront and becomes more valuable in a sense. To me, that is the goal.
Yes.
So
that's reality.
The other stuff is like whatever. Because
absolutely,
it just keeps changing and just keeps shifting.
Yeah.
It really doesn't have anything to do with anything, especially nothing to do with me.
Right. Right? Yeah.
So, life, the shift in interest is like, this is the goal. This dynamism is the goal.
That's right.
And
that's the, you could say, the boldness of the yogi.
To actually place seeming faith in that is,
yes,
interesting.
The boldness of the yogi
to
places.
To actually make moves, seeming moves that.
Yes.
I don't know. It's just like, it's like a confidence that you're like, I don't know,
one places one's faith, and this happens automatically, this is not by choice or anything, and we're reporting.
I without having it make it sound
like, I know, it's impossible.
Some story that I have from before.
Yes. We're reporting on it as if it's something that has occurred, hasn't yet occurred, or will occur, but that's, none of those are real.
No.
In this moment, as if there were one, which can only do one thing, namely liquidate, one places one's confidence in the fascination of that liquidation, the dynamism of that liquidation, the fractal wonder field of nonstop liquidation. And that's a bold move, because what about my life? Fuck, what's going to happen to my car? Or everything else that I imagine I hold dear?
Well, that's the bold move.
If I've given my attention to liquidation.
That's the bold move right now, is kind of the
invitation. It is.
It's like, this is a bold invitation for you to be bold and say, fuck it, tall, that shit. And kind of.
Yes. Yes.
Hang out in this.
Yes. Yes.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, amigos.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
That's the affair. It's the Thomas Crown affair. The affair is, okay, here's this. Boy, it liquidates real fast. It liquidates so fast that I can see that there's not much point in clinging to it. Because even before I've perfected the clinging, I'm 10,000 years ago. That's how fast it is. By the time I think I've perfected clinging as explanation, as justification, as peak experience, as epiphany, as whatever, you know, spiritual accomplishment, it is long gone. You're never, the only thing you are is long gone. What kind of opinion can you have? If the only thing you are is long gone, I want to hear what you have to say about shit. Of course I do, but you know what I mean. What can we say? Long gone. Night sky sangha. Long gone. But you see how, so I mean it's fun to look at because you can see the geometry, the Rubik's cube of self neglects out of hand that we're only long gone and says, no, I'm here. I got this. I got an opinion. I've got an explanation. You know, whether it's or whether it's the periodic table or something Stephen Hawking thinks about or Wayne Dyer thinks about or Ram Dass, for instance, one of the biggest losers I've ever met. And sorry, Ram Dass. No, I'm not. No, I'm not really. And that's it. All you've got is long gone. Now, do we find euphoria? Do we find joy? Do we find affection? Do we find bold action in that? Typically not. Long gone scares the fuck out of us to the point where we would rather hang out within the small-minded, greedy son of a bitch that I always am. That's where I think I thrive. Yeah, right. Sure. But that's how fierce long gone is. Liberating in an instant, you can't even feel the sword go through your neck. You don't even feel it. Your head just tumbles to the floor and you're like, whoa, I didn't see it coming. It's either that, which is nonstop, or it's the confidence that we place in, oh, I'm here. I know what this is. This is happening to me. This is why. And now I have to weasel my way into a better condition and see who I can enroll in my great strategy. Humans are fucking insane. Well, I mean, all you got to do is look at the news for a couple of minutes. Whoa, this culture, this species is whacked.
Yeah.
Whacked.
There's a moment that occurred last evening that I've been looking at.
Fun.
And we have inquired into it.
Mm.
And occurred when, were you there, Wesley?
Yes.
I didn't see it.
Did you get a new ankle bracelet?
I did. You jealous?
Yeah,
I want one, yeah.
I thought an old one.
Yeah, mine would probably beep when I had anyone near OTV or something like that. Whoop, 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 whoop.
We'll get you one that beeps when you go to McDonald's or something.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. Oh, it keeps you from leaving the county so they can keep garnishing your entire life.
When somebody threatened that, asked Hederman what he would do.
Right.
He kicked him in the knee.
Right.
He only hesitated just a brief moment and said, kick you in the nuts.
Yeah, he did. That was his retort.
Right.
Then I'll walk over and kick you in the nuts. That's what will happen. We'll take it from there.
Right. So in there, what I've noticed occasionally, I'm not making a big deal out of it, but it's possible in the moment,
yes,
the reaction arises,
right,
to kick him in the nuts. To look at that and know that you didn't think it, you didn't create it.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to act on it.
No. Yeah.
You can be other than that.
Well, this is tricky. It's a very slippery slope.
Well,
I hear
that's
you.
That's why I want to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find mostly just the other way around.
I know.
I just end up kicking people in the nuts and go, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, sorry. That all did that.
No thought went through my head
don't
at all.
Don't blame me.
It was like a reflex.
Yeah. So here's why it's slippery.
it places me or you or whomever in the role of impulse manager and then action chooser.
I don't have any impulse.
So if I have done my Buddhism successfully, right, and the master has approved my homework, then I have achieved equanimity, right? Mindfulness, dispassion, compassion.
Possibly.
Or not, who knows? But the imagination that one can or should strive to become a more generous, nonviolent manager of impulse has its warts.
Way of saying like that, back to that compassion thing, thinking you know what's good for somebody, maybe kicking the nuts with the, you know, what they needed. How do you know?
You can't know either way.
Yeah, right.
You can't know anything about it.
The problem is
where the reactionary impulse comes from.
No.
No.
Not a fucking clue what that is.
No, in my experience,
it just appears.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's no prescribed path. But there's no validating one or the other.
That's right. And it's interesting. Once we sign up to a prescribed path, that means we have purchased all of the accusations that path points at us as to what's wrong with us and why. Mm-hmm. And then why we should subscribe to that path for liberation, for peace of mind, for whatever. Right? We enroll over and over again in everybody's accusation. So that now I can give you my money to buy your, you know, chocolate-colored doll.
I think it'd be a short-lived path if it was a kick-em-in-the-nuts path.
I guess whoever the patron saint is of gonad striking is, you know, not too popular.
I
am. It would be cool to do it, and then suddenly I blacked out.
Yeah, really.
I remember when somebody went in the Amish school and killed three girls.
Yes.
And what they did is they embraced him.
Yeah.
And they didn't seek his out.
No.
And they didn't get all bent out of shape about it. They mourned, I guess, the loss of their kids, but they held their seat, so to speak.
Yeah.
So
yes.
So there is what looks to me like.
Right.
Possible. It's not. I don't know what the fuck to make of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the world we're living in is a reactionary world, totally run by reaction.
Could be.
Oh, there seems to be a lot of evidence for it.
I know, but evidence is evidence can be easily tampered with when you're God.
The prevailing condition seems to be lacking in an alternative to honoring a reaction that's stimulated by others.
Mm.
You create, somebody does something, they may not even know you're there, however it triggers something in you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reactionary world that I'm describing.
Yes, got it. Let's take a, you know, let's
another cut.
A micro submarine journey into the reactivity, right? Like Raquel Welch in that movie where they shrunk everybody, right? Yeah, remember they pulled them out of the eye.
Aerospace? No,
The something journey, amazing journey it was called. Yeah. Yeah, they shrunk everyone. It was fun. They had to shrink them they had to shrink them twice. They shrank them down once to put them into a syringe. Right. And then they shrank that down again so that they were really capillary sized and put them into the host. To eradicate a brain cancer.
Oh, yeah. What's that called?
The Amazing Journey or something like that. Yeah, it was a great
like
film.
Like Inner Space, where they put like Mark Schwartz stuff. They do like, space, the same thing. They put like a little guy inside of him.
A capsule.
Okay.
And he talks to him and stuff. It's funny.
Whoa. Well, with Martin Short, yeah. So let's say we take, we get shrunk really, 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 really tiny, and then we jump into what it looks like, the causal nature of reaction. And the causal nature of reaction turns out not to be what we thought it was. It turns out to be just as mysterious as...
Utterly.
Utterly, right.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, no doubt. Mm-hmm.
I can describe a personal one that was really startling.
Uh-huh.
So, I was tickling Eloise,
mm-hmm.
my granddaughter. And Rosemary saw it, got really pissed at me, and in her booming...
Oh, yeah.
Loud voice.
Yeah, Rosemary can command a space.
Yes, she did. She demanded that I stop.
Uh-huh.
It hit me like somebody had punched me.
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely.
It came like that. So,
yeah. Throw his hammer after like 10 twirls.
I was being my citizen, and I just contained the whole package.
Nice.
I didn't react.
Mm-hmm.
What was remarkable about it, though, it didn't go away. In other words, I had reverberated.
Oh, sure.
So for the next day, she knew that something was completely off.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Right.
It was like, until we dealt with it.
Yeah.
And she apologized.
Sure. Yeah.
So I, to me, it's a fucking mystery.
Yes.
Who's running this?
Oh, yeah.
Where does it come from? Where does it go? Why does it... sustained. I don't want to do a historical inquiry into what her experience as a little girl was, being tickled or not tickled.
That's right. Happened. That's right. Yeah. No, you can open up. You can open up any.
That's a Pandora's box.
Sure. Well, sure. Every moment is that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, this moment. Right. Every moment is a Pandora's box and thumbing through a book that's never been written. That's full of empty pages, and the moment you open a page, the writing appears
right.
magically.
That's very good. Much of what it feels like.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, every moment is like we think we can actually find a psychiatric or emotional or behavioral or karmic or cosmic or Akashic explanation for Kasha Varnishkas.
Right.
We can't.
What former life did somebody shout at me?
Yeah.
I absolutely can't tolerate.
I know. Yes.
Who the fuck knows?
Who the fuck knows? And then when you go to these clowns that want to take you on their past life regression, what are they going to do? Give you actually a meaningful explanatory portfolio of why you're such a dick? I'm a dick. Stop there. Save your money. Go get a donut. In the hopes of what? In the hopes of being relieved from accusation and wounded feelings?
Ouch. It does seem possible to erase some of them that are sitting right in front of your face.
Well, landmark, right? Psychiatry of all kinds, Vipassana, Goenka, right? Everything is dedicated, in a sense, to an erasure.
Yes, the problem is it has no duration.
No.
But that, the minute you erase it, something else pops up.
Duh.
There's no
empty
blackboard.
No.
This is a process of emptying.
Yeah. I mean, where do we think we're going to end up? It's like Scientology. Let's say I get audited, and then I get audited, then I get audited, and I go to clear one, clear two. I go to all the way to fucking clear eight, and I get the magic scrolls, and I see that they come from outer space, and now I really know what's wrong with me, that I've been occupied by extraterrestrial parasites, and once I can relieve myself of all of them, then I can stand up shoulder to shoulder with Tom Cruise and John Travolta and David Miscavige.
And do what?
I don't know.
Dance well.
Raise more money. I don't know. What, raise more money? Have a more successful career? Buy a privately owned 737 and live on a runway?
One of them would live.
Dance like on Saturday Night Live?
Or dance.
Saturday Night Fever.
Buy it here.
Yeah, yeah.
I would do it.
Do something that looks like there's somewhere to go.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Well, that's the sorrow of all. That's the sorrow of all rumination, because it looks like I need to have some place to go.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It's that's the myth and the pressure, the psychic pressure, the call it spiritual pressure of becoming, of having to fulfill, end up in a place. Satisfactorily remove every trace of vulnerability from my psychic profile So if someone yells at me when I'm just having fun with my granddaughter, it passes right through and nothing. Right?
It leaves scars. It doesn't work.
Yeah, everything leaves a scar. I know, I know. Everything leaves a scar. What the hell? Scarface. Who knows? You take... Who knows how you begin this journey, how seriously you take this journey, what it influences you to do, who to meet, who to talk with, where to end up, what kind of conversation to have, what kind of practices to bring into your life. Who knows? It's too magical. And then who knows what the fruition of that journey is, the fruition of that awakening, the fruition of that curiosity of traveling lighter. Who knows? Yes. Well,
traveling lighter.
Absolutely. I mean, Dr. Katie sells it. Abhidhamma sells it. Peter Brown sells it. Everyone sells it. Everyone sells some metaphor for traveling lighter, right? Mm-hmm. Getting a better glimpse of the unabashed present miracle. Right. Sans self. Mm-hmm. Ramana Maharshi did it. They're all guilty.
Well, if it's a default state, it's inevitable.
It is.
The false self appears to be the ship, you know, the only thing, the ultimate destination of a
yes.
Waking, radiant self, and then it's like, not there.
Yep.
And it's like,
yeah.
Gone in 60 seconds.
All you have at your disposal is already gone, which can be felt like euphoric evaporation. That's the, you know, the word was thrown around, nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Right? If you're the nature of body, mind, and sentiment, ooh, it's going to be a long haul. It's going to be a long night in hell. But as we begin to, quote, entertain whatever that suggests, oh, wait a second, this is nothing. Then, as that courses through your being, right, it'll have its way with you. Wouldn't it be a marvelous day when this moment turns out to be enough?
So would that t-shirt say satisfied?
Yeah, sure.
Question mark.
Satisfied, yeah. Question mark, sure.
Enough? Question mark.
I'm delighted to see that this conversation looks like it's more, it's in the common, some of it's in the common wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily have to travel to the mountain or go to India.
India is a shithole. I mean, you know, India might survive the coming Holocaust, right? Species Holocaust, who knows? The Deccan Plateau has its own charms. But what? Awake is loyal to the subcontinent of India? I don't think so. I mean, it turns out to be kind of exotic there. You know, more magical powers and swamis with, you know, yogic whatever and shit like that. I mean, it's very interesting. How many hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions of people, flock to southern India to see Satya Sai Baba have watches and eggs and jewels and vibhuti and miracle healings? You know, they came in by the busload for decades. Fucking decades. They came in by the busload. I don't know. We should call some of them up and say, yeah, how'd it go?
How's it going?
How's it going? Yeah. now that he's deceased, you know, and the ashram has just turned into a political nightmare of, you know, infighting or whatever it is. Now what are people doing? Flocking to see this charlatan Saima.
So what's the say, what's for sale there?
Where?
When you said charlatan.
Oh, Saima?
Yeah.
I mean, look at the website. I mean, every photo of her is absolutely unnatural. You know, with the makeup and the costuming and the look. I mean, it's total Hollywood. And then all of the programs are all about this, you know, that vulnerable place in all suffering souls, which sells self-improvement. Exotic self-improvement. Coming from, you know, someone that holds themselves out to be a master of everything. Yeah. Right? But that's the cosmic game. I mean, she's just playing, you know, the cosmic game. But, you know, it's funny, what we might appreciate as the magical kernel of something like realization and sniff out the nuance of it, the general public would rather go flocking to Saima. They don't have any interest in what this might actually be. I mean, they're happy to submit their, you know, charlatan, spend the money, and get certified.
Psyops.
It is, it's psyops. Yeah. It's bad. Well,
it is interesting, like, not that you need to maintain this conversation all the time or something, but, you know, it's like you go see, like, last night, Tal Hanuman or something, and it's just like, so, how's work? What do you know what I mean? It's just right back to
yes.
The invitation, it doesn't, I don't know, I don't want to say it doesn't seem to stick, but it's the...
Well, it's right. It's you. It's the let's call it the dimensionality or the texture that's arising in your experience, as whether a cordial and casual, right, socializing means you've dropped the ball, or whether that perfume is still present.
I guess when you're not looking for some profound instant that has some kind of quality that indicates its profundity.
Yes.
Then anything and everything and nothing.
Yep.
Is it?
There we are. That's this.
From how you wipe yourself to
yes.
What you eat and how you walk in here.
Yeah.
Just sitting and doing nothing at all.
What's not? Find anything that's not an already gone miracle.
I find some relief in that from the ongoing, what do you call it, film strip of stream of wants and desires and needs and hopes and entertainments and so forth that stream through this sensory.
We travel through our day, for the most part, in a virtual field of imagination.
That's which is the virtual that
movement of rumination. Yeah. And one could argue, you know, from the so-called yogic perspective, one might argue that, hey, you might want to rethink this, you know, reflexive, involuntary habit of moving through the day in a virtual world and see what it feels like to arrive. See what it feels like to arrive, whatever that suggests. You can't say what actuality is. But, you know, I mean, the moment, right? The moment you assert what actuality is, then what? The opposite of that is untrue? No. The opposite of, no. You can't take a position where the opposite of that position is untrue, because that's not reality. That's something else. That's an idea. So it's really impossible, thankfully. We can't really articulate reality because what we've got is already gone. And any idea about it is after the fact, too late, while it's appearing spontaneously with no delay. It doesn't make sense when we look at language or rumination or thought or ideation from a materialistic or causal or temporal point of view.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, that sort of trick of you got to do something to get something. To this doesn't have anything lacking, or that's even a little heavy. This doesn't need adornments, and isn't encumbered by adornments. Kind of like, you know, that kind of
sure
Kohanish kind of thing.
Kohanish, yeah. Yeah, I used to be Amish. Now I'm Kohanish.
Yeah, the Kohanish Club.
Yeah, and yeah, sometimes I go to the Kohanish Club.
Okay.
Yeah, really.
No more chocolate.
Now he's going to go to chocolate.
No, it's the heat, Mike. My processor.
Yeah, you should wear a little fan on your head. You plug it into your navel for power.
Those little fan hats.
Yes, my only fan.
Yeah. It's not your fault, it's what you ate a long time ago.
Yeah, all those times it said, geez, I really need a boat now. I only have more of this and a little less of that. That road I just turned down, you know, if I only turned the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And then just being able to smile at my mom's physical that is about what it should and wouldn't.
Yes.
And it is building on a self that is very...
They're simultaneous.
Like a cloud, like a...
Yeah.
Like a,
right, nothing builds anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Appearing to, you know.
Yeah.
Like my memory of whatever history.
That yes.
I could communicate with words.
Right. Yep.
And pointing motions.
Yes, pointing motions.
Referring to.
Right.
Whatever. And then it's gone.
You are gone. You are long gone.
I'm curious if people get anxious and go, oh my God, I can't remember. Remember what?
Yes. You know, what's interesting is for as long as we're invested in some kind of psychiatric journey, behavioral journey, emotional, spiritual journey, then we're under the influence of comparison, hoping that my reactivity, my sense of abundance, affection, whatever might be an enviable, emotive state, occurs more frequently, with more depth, and lasts longer than the jerk I was, you know, for the entirety of my life prior to this moment. And that measure, that form of measure, which is tethered to behavior and psychological and spiritual, et cetera, et cetera, is...
anthropomorphized mess.
Yes, thank you. It's an anthropomorphized mess. Exactly, yes. Yeah.
If only people could be like me.
Yeah. But when you go to a 12-step meeting or a Weight Watchers thing or, you know, where you go, then you are looked at in a positive light if you can tell a revealing and intimate story about your own fucked upness and convince the audience that, you know, you've atoned for your sins, you've made your amends, you're on the straight and narrow path, and next week you're going to be the principal speaker. And that's, you know, we're like, oh, another success case.
Now hold a job and pay my rent.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's an amazing thing, yeah. I can now hold a job and pay rent. That is bliss for a lot of people. Of course it is. We don't know what it's like to be absolutely exonerated from measure. Absolutely exonerated from the myth of primatism, human relevance.
Like, instead of making it like this is about something, it's just showing you how fucking trippy it is, and it's like
you're on an LSD bender.
Yeah, who knows how that's going to show up, and you know, but it's easy to take that and interpret it into like,
yep,
oh, this must mean that, you know, and link things together, and it's like, no, it's just fucking trippy. And how else would it show you that it's trippy?
Hoffman,
you know what I mean?
Hoffman the Jew tried to set everyone free when he synthesized lysergic acid.
But that sort of creeps in on its own. You're like, oh my god. You don't need to try it.
Yeah, really.
You're right. That's why I decided not to try it.
Yeah, we're good to go. You know, kind of
seeing
kind
that of it's always really.
If we begin to enjoy discontinuity in rumination and become acquainted with whatever this is when it's not thinking, whatever this is when it's not full of itself as an imaginary type. Wow. This is an LSD vendor.
It's like walking into an insane asylum with a bunch of people on acid in a weird, trippy fucking setting and being like, I'm just going to tie this together real quick. I can totally make sense of this. I totally got this. You feel like, that guy and that guy must be together. You know, and it's like, that's what we do. It's really funny. It's like, no. That's not what's going on.
Well, the first thing that happens when you walk into the facility, you want to figure out who you can get drugs from.
Well, for me.
Yeah, right. And you check out all the inmates and go, huh, who's selling? Who's selling here? Sometimes it looks like the catatonic chick in the corner that can only paint. She doesn't want anyone to know, but she can bring in the good stuff.
Well, I see you do.
Anyway, who's the catatonic chick in the corner here? Freedom from self turns out to be the default position. Always at hand. And identification with rumination as a virtual factory is also apparently, you know, always at hand. I mean, it's fun to sing praises to the Buddha. You know, why not? But if all of those activities turn out to be sublimatingly incarcerating, then I would argue that the master of the Zendo might want to take a different tack.
Like move the furniture around.
Burn the Zendo. I was thinking more that way. Yeah. Burn it down. Yeah.
Spin on the Buddha statue.
Yeah.
That was one of those koans. Yeah, the Zen story. Yeah, why'd you spit on the Buddha, that sacred Buddha? He said, show me where he is and I'll spit to him. I mean, that's full of positive content, but, you know, it's also kind of an interesting twist.
Well, it's all you, so worshipping a Buddha, you're just worshipping your own self.
Worshipping,
really matter.
Right, an extension.
You want to worship Ronald McDonald.
There it is, yeah.
Feel
yeah.
free.
There it is, and don't mess good. With it. That's it. Don't mess. I'm offended. My honor is challenged. Prepare to die.
Basically, we walk around with a little wooden stick telling everyone, prepare to die. Yeah, really. I just finished the ice cream. I've got the stick. Prepare to die. Everybody, prepare to die. we dip our foot in the pond to become acquainted with quiescence. We'd like to think that quiescence should arrive all at once in its entirety, but we might not be so prepared. We're very fond of being right and agitation and our own storyline and our own suffering. We're very fond of it. And when we're agonizing, and we think that we want quiescence to come all at once and remove all of this pain, but I'm not so convinced. So you could say the slow and steady approach is meritorious. Right? You dip your foot in the pond of quiescence, and you get a few seconds. You're like, oh, whoa, quiescence. Wow. I'm not sure I want this all the time. I'm not so sure. If it were on tap, that'd be good, because when I was suffering, I could just turn the dial on the quiescence, and then I could mitigate my sorrow. But to, right, go into the acid pool of quiescence, and all your flesh gets melted away, I'm not so sure. That's why this has to sneak up on you. It more or less fools us. It tricks us.
What are the disguises that does it wear?
Every.
It sounds like it's a familiar one.
Every, yeah. These are, yeah. Every moment is, you know, all the masks that we hide behind every moment, in entirety, in the fullness of every moment, which of course is incomprehensible because there's too much happening in any given click to inventory it. So that what we end up inventorying as self is a puny, ultra puny useless percentage of the actual reality. Well, that's what rumination is. Telling stories that pretty much have nothing at all to do with actuality. As in, maybe zip.
I've got a handle on it.
Yeah, I got to figure it out. Right. And that's rough. I mean, admittedly, it's a little disturbing to start to get a glimpse that everything you're thinking, everything you've thought, has been zip. Zippy doodah. And that's not that difficult to encounter because here you are, this is the culmination of your life right now. And tell me all your opinions. Tell me all your thoughts. All your great moves. All the left-hand turns you made when you should have gone left versus when you should have gone right. You don't have anything. You don't have anything to show for yourself, which is a fucking miracle. You don't have anything to show for yourself right now.
So there isn't even an energetic origin to the essence of essences, whatever that might be.
No.
With a void of voids, if you want to empty it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever Game of Thrones character you're fond of that's still alive. Because they tend to die quick in that episode.
So if we're enamored by radiance, we're enamored by the void.
Yeah.
You know. It's
enamor away.
Yeah, it gets away. Like, yeah. I'm in a world of illusions and I'm heading to the void. Yeah. Or I'm in a world of emptiness and I'm heading for the radiant presence of the all ever.
That's right.
You know, something.
That's right.
And everything in between. Somebody can take a lead in my favorite journey.
That's right.
Or the mundanity.
You are in, Fred Flintstone's car, and your feet are moving wildly.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. Actually, it's fun for me to dance into the present memories
of all those times where I had no objective whatsoever, things just came and went. And even the thoughts of, what's wrong with me? Why am I not motivated? Why am I not driven like I should be?
Yes.
And I don't know, just to be able to smile at presence,
yeah,
with motivation, smile at it without motivation.
None of us have any right to sit at this poker game because we've got no chips.
I just watched Norm do it. And he's, sir, are you playing? And, no, I'm just watching. Anyhow, yep, I'm chipless.
You're chipless. Dickless and chipless.
No. I'm not different in that pool.
All right, okay. I don't want to compromise your
I still have a
your virility.
For sure.
Your veracity I'll go after. Your virility, you can keep that.
Yeah, it's still sort of tacky. Oh, boy.
There does seem to be some value in moving more slowly.
Yes, sure.
I didn't invent it.
No.
I just started moving more slowly.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you become gleefully overwhelmed by bliss, slow down. As your aperture opens up to this dissociative euphoria, slow the fuck down. Take a sip. Sit a spell.
Well, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, there isn't a journey's end.
Yes.
So what the hell are you rushing for?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, everything's vibrating at its, you could say, right, the Earth, the galaxy, if there were one, right? The cilia in your nose, right? The flora and fauna in your gut. Everything is vibrating at some kind of magical frequency according to its, right, miraculous density. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we think that our thoughts are autonomous, chosen by us, decided by us, that we're the masters of our own fate. When what's appearing in here, in the panoply of consciousness and recognition, it could be the result of gut bacteria. Most likely it's the effluent of, microorganisms farting in you. You think you're just, a fart stream.
It's like the radio that takes a consent.
No soap radio. I mean, how we end up with even, an ounce of pride has got to be insane. Look at how much pride we've ended up with. Based on what exactly? What? An opposable thumb and a frontal brain? What is that? What does that mean? I'm the scarecrow, the tin man, and the lion. And then now I've got red shoes, so watch out.
It seems to be.
It's a strong wiring to get kind of approval from your peers or to shine amongst your peers. And I'm just talking about the wiring that shows up.
Well, attention seeking, that starts with infancy, if not before.
Oh, right? Right.
Yeah. Right. The hunt for Red October. You could say that the urgency for attention seeking and or demonstrations to attract, right? Is the procreative impulse. 16, 17 years before you're ready to, procreate.
The peacock showing his feathers off.
That's right. Yeah. Flickers making a racket.
dip your foot in the pond of absolute quiescence. See what it feels like. Right? And it comes for you. You can become accustomed to that, what would you call it, a membrane of intimacy where the transmutative nature of reality starts revealing itself to you. If I'm daydreaming, right, which is the default condition, then my attention is wrapped up in what appears to be the strength or the inertia of rumination. So my sensitivity then is occupied. The yoga is chill the fuck back from the insistence on rumination, consequence, becoming, and self-improvement, so that you can actually have a, what could we call it, a conscious relationship with one's own intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And that aperture then shows you that reality is on the move, that reality is actually transmutative, transmogrifying, right, fractalizing in your face, as your face. And you're less convinced of body and mind, and you call it emotion, or stuff and belongings or outcomes. Like what we were saying earlier, the yogi enters into a zone of a certain kind of courage. So her loyalty is with the present observation of blissful, euphoric transmutation. That's what's real. Everything else can just fuck off.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. No, it's fun. I mean, you know, if you're young and hormonally filled and career or whatever, you're into music or art or blah 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 blah. You got a lot of shit going on. You know, you got to accomplish stuff. You got to make a mark. You know, you have to get a house or a partner or have kids or whatever you're going to do, and you're just, you know, that's the fulfillment of your life. It's the imaginary fulfillment of your life. Right, wrong, indifferent doesn't really matter. So at some point, and who's to say when those markers occur? But I don't know. You know, at some point it's like, whoa, wait a second. I would really like to find out what reality is. And I'm going to place fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer demands on God in order to convince me that I should move in that direction. Well, you know, God, I'm gonna give it a little more attention, but I have to have a girlfriend because the loneliness is killing me. You know?
Or I just need a little more evidence. If you could just do me a magic trick or two, so
yeah,
I can see that what I'm doing
right.
Is correct.
Ba-da-da-ba, ba-da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, so we come up with endless creative excuses, which are, you know, call them psychiatric deferrals of the great confidence. We're putting the great confidence aside, bargaining with whoever we think is running the show. You know, Jesus and friends.
Bargaining kind of in the objective world, it seems like.
And then we bargain.
The imaginary objective world that we've created, we're bargaining.
Yes, we bargain with each other. We bargain with the grocer. We bargain with the tax man.
You bargain with your interior dialogue.
We bargain with ourselves pretty much nonstop. Yeah. And you can see that our confidence is weak, fractured,
mm-hmm.
Promiscuous. We're made out of nothing. Tissue paper. We might present great bravado, but we're made out of tissue paper because our confidence is shit. No blame. It's just the rhythm. You become, you could say, more formidable when, by organic nature, your confidence in reality, you know, grows. You want to find out what this is really like more than anything, right? The old story of the master puts the devotee's head underwater, you know, it's getting really, lifts his head up, you know, what do you want? Air! Wrong answer. Right? Air! No, wrong answer. Yeah. Yeah, really.
I mean, this is kind of a sublimated frustration that we have for our entire lives, rarely recognized, that we really have no confidence. We're made out of tissue paper. We mistrust everything and everyone, including the God of our faith. And we're holdouts. Yeah.
So that's where a letdown can be a revelation. In other words, I've been anticipating this moment of it's all coming together now. And then instead, it's the great letdown.
Yeah.
And at that moment, that can be quite poignant in a sense.
Sure.
Because you've invested all this energy into this culmination of who knows what, who knows why, who knows where, and then all of a sudden, it don't work. And then you realize all that time and energy went somewhere to some end. And here it is, with or without some texture or quality. Lacking nothing.
Yeah.
It's wonderfully ironic, I must say. Not that it's enjoyable all the time. I mean, I'm talking about it like it's, I don't know if it's new kind of word.
Right.
But it can suck like hell.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But it, at any moment, it seems, it can kind of like tap me somewhere and go, do you see the fucking folly in this?
Yes. Right.
And then actually laugh in my wailing. I mean, I've actually done that.
So sure.
Freaking weird.
Yeah.
Just not for a long time, though. But yeah.
Yeah. I know it's annoying. Play level when someone sits next to you and goes,
me and my pollen, I used to do it all the time.
I just got allergies. I'm allergic to everything. Mm. I like to blame those nice guys on me.
Why not?
Why not?
You have to blame your present condition on something.
Yeah, nice guys
on someone.
I used to have one of those noses.
Nice breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Tie me to the mast.
Excuse me.
Some of the yogis say that what we call mind, right, the effervescent nature of rumination and fantasy, is prana, right, the refinement of, you know, cosmic background energy, right, the prana striking the frontal brain. So the prana activizes the frontal brain, and the frontal brain, because its job is pattern recognition and pattern assertion, gets excited. And that's the genesis of restlessness, mental restlessness, right? Of psychological time, of becoming. So from that modality, the yogi knows how to manage prana, in a more diplomatic or advanced, right, way. I mean, Patanjali was all about using Raja Yoga to become a master of prana, to withdraw the prana from the frontal brain. And that's as useful a metaphor as any.
That's unfortunately, that's not how yoga is taught in the West. You know, people profess, you know, Patanjali, Raja Yoga, blah, blah, blah. You know, they've got all kinds of philosophy going. But it doesn't mean they have an exquisite appreciation of the genesis of prana tapping the frontal brain and, right, flowering into misery.
Yeah, that'd be a real hit.
And so the emphasis for all of the yogas would be an appreciation, felt, right, philosophic, appreciation of the undulating and urgent nature of prana, dreaming, suggestibility, hypnotic euphoria, and relaxing it back from striking the frontal brain. John Klein used to speak of going into the hindbrain. And I mean, that was part of his Kashmiri, you know, practice and dissertations was dropping the prana into the hindbrain.
Like the Bindu or something, some kind of weird, mysterious thing back there. I don't know much about it.
Yeah.
There was a Bindu Sarga somewhere back there.
Yeah. Well, your felt sense, right? The unadorned irrefutability of you is the recognition of that prana. Is the marriage, if you will, of awareness and prana as one and the same. Awareness and prana is one and the same. Ah. So now awareness and prana is one and the same. That would suggest you don't have to be duped into, right? Association or identification with fantasy.
So does that mean prana can feel with or without a body?
Yes, absolutely. If we're going to play with this in a hierarchical way, then I don't know if you want to call it consciousness, the absolute, or prana, or any other refinement that you're fond of, is prior to body. Body appears in prana. Yes. Yes. And that's not too difficult to discover either, because, you know, if you're not moving and there's no, let's say, stimulation to the superficial skin, where's the body? You have a felt sense. You still have a felt sense, which is part meditation, but it's also part, right, unbidden. Right? The mystery of you is unbidden, unadorned, not the consequence of anything. Completely disembodied. It's not that difficult to see that body appears in that affection. Whether you want to go crazy and say there is a body or there's not a body, it starts to get too muddy.
That's right.
It gets too muddy.
That distinction, yeah.
Poof. Better, if I may be so bold, to see that, whoa, before body imposes itself on me, or I insist that I'm of the nature of body, there's something else here. There's something else here, you could say, prior to, more subtle than what we call body, in which body appears. Is thought thinking? Is thought recognizing thought? No. You are.
Yeah, it's got to be more subtle.
It has to be more subtle. Yes, and you look at the teachings of Carl Renz, or even though this might be a curious comparison, Greg Good, and have, you know, a very different kind of, you know, trajectories. But if you, you know, if you squirrel it down, it's like anything that's recognizable is unreal. Where does that end? I mean, body, gone, right? Emotions, mind, identity, rumination. What about the consciousness? Bye.
I mean, that's a, it's a very, what's the word? Remarkably succinct view of nothing at all. Like, where, if you go back, let's say you withdraw from insanity, whatever that means, you withdraw from insanity and you're looking for the real you. Body? Mm-mm. Mind? Mm-mm. Consciousness? But it's whatever the real you is or isn't. Don't ask me what it is, because I don't know. Thank God for that. But isn't thinking appearing to the real you? Thinking is not paying attention to thinking. It doesn't know shit diddly squat sola. You, thinking is occurring in or to you. Body occurs in or to you. Emotion and everything that accompanies our allotment on earth appears in you, to you. Who is this you? What is this you? So this, you know, this vocabulary lends some credibility is absurd. We'll use the word lends some credibility to the view of the prana field, subtler, behind not striking the frontal brain and then getting into a big shebang, a big lollapalooza, a funnel cake, and that is your constant condition. Not that it's a condition. But all appearance is appearing in recognition, appearing in awareness. And awareness sounds like a thing, but it's not. Who knows how helpful that, you could say, that approach is. Because we're remarkable. We're very creative. You can use subtle language and subtle pointing or inclination, yogically or otherwise, poetically or otherwise. And you, this will fetishize it faster than you can say fetish. Backwards. Shih Tzu. Do you see how quickly mind as a referential field anthropomorphizes nothing at all? There's no delay.
I guess that's what the answer was about. Everyone that asked a question of great importance, looking for some verification, got pointed back to themselves. Sounds like that's working for you. That's for you, yeah? Okay.
Yes.
You got it?
Yes. Right.
You too. Yep, there it is.
Yep.
That's true. You want me to affirm that? I can't.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
It's yours.
Yeah.
I got mine.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a heavy my or I. It's just one experience. But here's a talking head that's saying, I want some verification.
Right.
I want some collusion.
Yeah, collusion.
Collusion. You know, come on, hey, are we on the same page, man?
Right.
It's enough with you.
Yeah. You pay. That's the kind of collusion we're interested in. Going out for beers this time.
Uh-oh, 9/11. Emergency.
Whoop. As a game of repetition or a game of reinforcement, play around with language and play around with, you know, the space, the vibe in the space. We play around with whatever comes to mind as the, right, metaphor du jour, the, right, the hypothetical circumstance in the moment. And we can actually get a glimpse of these hypothetical storylines appearing absolutely, right, spontaneously. And then the possessiveness that says, I thought. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. even when we convince ourselves of suffering, whether past, present, or future, it's that same movement. Right? What's the nature of a vibration where someone has said something hurtful or harmful or spontaneous and caught us off guard and, you know, we got a big incoming? And we're not over it in 10 minutes. We're hurt. We're a little frightened. You know, we want to talk it through. Maybe we have some retribution. You know, there's injury. What a weird miracle.
Being injured.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the mystery.
Sure. That's right.
Walking around is such a complex, mysterious blob.
Yep.
Corpuscles.
Yeah, that's right. Mr. Corpuscle. Belief and superstition and being right about things, that's restriction. It's a narrowing of the aperture of availability. Non-clinging is not a thing to do. Non-clinging is revelatory. I just didn't know what to do if 30 people came to our little talk this evening. Nice guy, Sangha. Go fuck yourself.
I'm going to make that t-shirt.
Any questions?
Really, go fuck yourself. Any questions?
Discussions of honor.
I will put this to bed. Enough bliss for one night. That's enough fucking bliss for one night. Good.